Man, Christmas love. What about it? All kinds of love, we say. Agape love, God's love, Christmas love. I love pizza. Well, I want to tell you something about loving pizza. It don't compare to the love of God. Amen? That agape love, the love that goes beyond Christmas love. I'm going to read you some stories today, and the first one is Luke 2, 1 through 20. You can turn there in your Bible if you would like. It's not on the screen. It's quite lengthy for that, but you can turn to Luke 2. I know you know that story, but I would like to read it to you today since we're talking about Christmas love. Luke 2 says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken in the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and a baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." I pray that on Christmas Day, whenever you or your family, some of you'll be the 4th, the 5th, the 26th, whatever, that you'll get that out and you'll read that again. You've heard it, you know it, but just let it be part of your Christmas celebration. Now, 1 Corinthians 13, I heard it in our reading today by the Anderson family on this candle of love. You're familiar with the love chapter. If you're not, I'm going to read it to you after a while so you can be familiar with it. The love chapter. Now, someone wrote this version based on 1 Corinthians 13, and it goes like this. "If I decorate my house perfectly with plaid bows, strands of twinkling lights, and shiny balls, but do not show love to my family, I'm just another decorator. If I slave away in the kitchen, baking dozens of Christmas cookies, preparing gourmet meals, and arranging a beautiful adorned table at mealtime, but do not show love to my family, I'm just another cook. If I work at the soup kitchen, carol in the nursing home, and give all that I have to charity, but do not show love to my family, it profits me nothing. If I trim the spruce with shimmering angels and crystal snowflakes, attend a myriad of holiday parties, and sing in the choir's cantata, but do not focus on Christ, I have missed the point. Love stops the cooking to hug a child. Love sets aside the decorating to kiss the husband." She wasn't even looking at me. You know, did you hear that part? "Love is kind, though tired. Love doesn't envy another's home that's coordinated Christmas china and table linens. Love doesn't yell at the kids to get out of the way, but thankful that they're in the way. Love doesn't give only to those who are able to give in return, but rejoices in giving to those who can't. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Video games will break. Pearl necklaces will be lost. Golf clubs will rust. But giving the gift of love will endure. Well, that's not 1 Corinthians 13 right out of the Bible, but it's pretty good, I think, don't you? It makes a lot of sense. What's Christmas all about? Well, it's about the love of God. It's about His gift to mankind. And we've heard that and we know that. My prayer is that all of us will sense it afresh and anew this year, that we will really evaluate and say, God, you know, I want to experience Your presence. I'm not too concerned about the presence over here under the tree, but I really want Your presence in my life and in my heart. And I want to give that away. I want to be able to give it to someone. I want to be able to give this hope and this love and this peace and this joy that we talk about at Christmas time and the very reason you came. I want to be able to give that away. And I know we get caught up in the commercialism and all those kinds of things. And I know buying somebody a gift is appreciated. And I know it's showing some love to people. But it's so much more than just gift giving. Even though it's an expression of love, what God has done here is so great. Now, here's another story today, and it's about a school district that had banned using the name of Christ in any of their Christmas programs. Though they could use the name Christmas, they began calling the holiday programs things like winter festivals. One music teacher decided to include the presentation using the words Christmas love. Each of the 13 letters were drawn on cardboard, and 13 children would hold up a letter spelling it out. They practiced and practiced, and it came time for the program, and there it was for all to see. Parents were pointing, people were rejoicing, children were giggling, the principal was turning red in the face, because little Johnny, holding the seventh letter, had his upside down. Instead of Christmas love, it now read, Christ was love. I like that myself. Y'all don't seem to be too thrilled about it, but Christ was love. That MW, you got it, did you? Yeah, sure you did. Good story. Christ was born out of love. He was given out of love, and we're thankful for it. I promise this will be the last story this morning. I know there's a lot of stories, but I think it helps us with our point. This is about a little girl who wasn't very easy to love, and her name was Phyllis. I'm just going by the story here. I really am. I'll give you a copy so you know I didn't change the name. The names have been changed to protect the innocent or whatever. Okay. Phyllis wasn't an easy child to love. Sometimes I did wish she wasn't in the particular Sunday school class I taught. She never sat still. She hated to be touched. And she always had to have the last word. Phyllis, I'm telling you. Pardon? That's not our Phyllis. And she's trying to get me out of my trouble here. Oh, goodness. Okay, where was I? Her teacher tried to give Phyllis a speaking part, but Phyllis refused. I'm probably going to a party that night, she said. Lord, I prayed silently, please help me to love Phyllis. Well, I have a few more parts if you change your mind. I won't, Phyllis said, and she didn't. At rehearsal, the teacher heard, Mary doesn't act like she's going to have a baby, muttered a little voice behind me. Phyllis might not have any desire to be in the program, but she wouldn't miss the rehearsal. Shh, I whispered, reaching back to pat Phyllis's hand. She jerked it away and said, okay, okay. In the last scene, only the spotlight shone on the Holy Family, and the children hummed Silent Night. It was beautiful. But who was that moving in front of the manger? Phyllis. You never knew where that child was going to pop up next. She stuck her hand into the manger, squeezed the doll's arm, and disappeared into the shadows. Phyllis, I called, what are you doing up there? I'm just looking, she said. Besides, it's not a baby. It's just a doll. I felt it. Lord, please help me to love Phyllis. By 6:45, the air was bristling with excitement backstage. There was no Phyllis to be seen, and I began to relax. As the organ chimed the beginning of the service, I took my prompter seat in the front pew with opening strands of Watchman Tell Us of the Night. The lights came up on the manger scene, and the narrator began. I felt something bump my knee and give a little shove. Move over, muttered an all-too-familiar voice. I decided not to go to the party. The angels sang to the shepherds. The shepherds went to Bethlehem and took the lamb for the baby. The wise men went to see Herod and then to the stable. And Mary sat there pondering these things in her heart. It was lovely. Phyllis sat beside me so quietly that I forgot all about her. And when I realized she was gone, it was too late. She stomped her way right to the manger, just as she has done during rehearsal. But this time she was stiffened, awestruck, then turned with her eyes wide with wonder and came hurrying back to me. He's alive! He's alive! He's alive, she said to me in her voice. Across the aisle, someone said, what did she say? She said, he's alive. The next person said, what are they saying? He's alive. And it goes on that it went all through the auditorium there, the sanctuary. He's alive. He's alive. And people began to say, he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. I put my arm around Phyllis. You were the best part of the program, I said into her ear. I wasn't in the program, she said. And then she just pushed me away. He's alive. This baby we celebrate in the manger. We have all the nativity scenes. We have all the beautiful things that we enjoy. But in this little story here, what was a doll that day was a baby. And Phyllis got to say, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. Our Lord and Savior today is alive, he's alive, and he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Christmas love. Well, that's some stories for you, right? Christmas love. Now, Corinthians 13, if I speak in tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have the faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know, be known fully as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Christmas love, the love of Almighty God. The next slide is one you know, and people around the world know this scripture. For God so loved the world, right? The whole world. That he what? He gave. Not trying to oversimplify it, but I mean, you've heard it all your life, but don't let this slide over your head. His only son, that whoever believes in him wouldn't perish, but have eternal life. That's love. That's God giving us his son. And when Jesus is saying these words now, he's wanting to stress, now God is doing this. God is doing this. I want you to know that it's God's love that's bringing you eternal life. You know, Jesus wasn't taking credit for it, really, even though I know we could debate that and say he was and all this that and the other. But he's saying, for God, Jesus saying this now, for God so loved the world. Jesus is saying, I want you to know this is God's gift. I want you to know that this is because of God's love that he's giving me here to take care of this sin thing, to take care of the of eternal life for the world. Now the next slide, it says God's motive. God's motive in all this was love. God's motive now, not somebody that you think's pretty high up the food chain, if you will, or up high up the ladder or what have you. We're talking about God, who's always been, who will always be. We're talking about Jesus being right there with him and the Holy Spirit, and we're talking about could have done anything that goes beyond what we can imagine of a heaven. It goes beyond anything we can imagine when it comes to power and creation. We're talking about God Almighty, who could do anything he wants to do, period. In any realm of conversation, any category that you can think about or have a conversation about, God could have done anything in any of those areas. And God's motive is, was, always will be love. God's motive and all this Christmas love is love. God's action, he gave. For God so loved the world, he what? Gave his only begotten son, or his one and only son. So we got the motivation being love, and then we've got the action that he gave his son, that he could pave the way for us. And God's gift, his son. Motive, action, and then the gift was his son. The highest type of love. The highest type of love that has ever been is this love right here. The love of God. Oh, how rich and pure. How measureless and something deep. That's probably the wrong word. Strong. Measureless and strong. The love of God. The saints and angels song. Isn't that wonderful? The love of God. Are you accepting the love of God today? Are you accepting his love? It's Christmas time. And how do you know? Well, we got a manger over here, and we've even got a Bible in that manger. We've got some trees, and we got a stable, and you know, all the pretty little things around. Outside nativity scene, you got stuff at your house. You know it's Christmas time. You've been listening to the music. You've been reading some stories. Probably some of you have been forced to watch Christmas movies. You know it's Christmas time, huh? Yeah. What's the deal? God. God's love for mankind. And I pray that all of us here today accept his love. How many times, I don't know, over the years, as people have said, so close to giving their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about so close. You've got to get this, folks. So close to getting saved. That's a churchy word maybe, but so close. You think about to giving your heart to Jesus. So close. And I've heard these words through the years, but preacher, you don't know what kind of person I've been. And I've said everything I could think of back many, many times. And you don't know what kind of person I've been. I've said that. And we've talked many to many people through the years. This close. But you don't know what kind of person I've been. I've got news for you. It don't matter what kind of person you've been. The love of God is here and has come in Jesus. And Jesus died on Calvary's cross and He arose from the dead. He did all that because He loves you and He is willing to forgive. He is willing to save. He is willing to take your sin and throw it in the deepest sea and to never remember it again. As far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. But you don't know what I've done. I'm talking about trading a fiery, flaming hell prepared for the devil and his angels to the glorious heaven with streets of gold and a crystal sea and everything perfect and the Son of the living God and God Himself upon the throne to be with Him and the angels crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." I'm talking about this close, trading destruction and hell for the glorious heaven prepared for the redeemed people. That close. And sometimes I've walked out of a hospital room or a house or what have you and made it to the vehicle and tears run down my face because I know they rejected the love of God again. Rejected it. The terrible eternity of an unbeliever. The glorious eternity of the redeemed. And God Himself said, I've got the deal together. That's a terrible paraphrase, but I've got the deal together. I've put step A, B, C, and D together. All you have to do is accept it. All you have to do is believe on me. Confess your sin and ask me to forgive you, and I will. Why? Because you're such a good person? No. Because you're so good looking? No. Because you're rich? No. Because you're poor? No. Because I love you. I love you. The motive of God is love. And the action He gave, He proved. You know, you hear people say, well, put you, how's that old saying go? I might say something wrong here. What if put your money where your mouth is or something? If that's something wrong, forgive me. But I think what that means is put up or shut up. Ooh, that's not good either. I'm struggling, Judy. Now you look at me. When I said you stop cooking and kiss your husband, you sure didn't look. Now she's looking. God loves you. I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know if it's a good time, a bad time. I don't know what you're doing spiritually. If you're under attack by the devil himself, or whether you think, man, I'm closer to God right now than I've been in years. I don't know what's going on physically in your life. I feel great, or man, I've got this report from the doctor that's not good at all. I don't know those things in your life today, but I know by experience, I know by the word of the living God that God loves you. And I know He gave Jesus for you, his son. So love brought it about. This is God's nature. This is God's will. This is who God is. God is love. Love brought heaven to man and will carry man to heaven. And the results of this love, he gave. So today, wherever you're at in life, I pray you'll let it sink in again today. Oh, you've heard sermons on hope like you did last week. You've heard a lot of sermons on love. But I just hope today it'll be a little different. And today that God speaks to you and whatever about in life, that you'll say, I really believe God loves me. There's a lot of things I don't understand in life. There's a lot of things I have some questions about. But I believe with everything within me that God is love. I believe everything within me, when things are good and when things are bad, that God is love. The things I understand and can raise my hand and rejoice and I exalt thee. I believe God is love. And on the days that it seems like the very devil of hell's against me and the demons of hell are against me, when there's circumstances that I cannot control and I do not like, I still believe with all my heart that God is love. He loves you today. And if you stand with me, I just ask you to open your life up to the Lord. If you need to be saved today, would you come and ask Him to forgive you of sin? If you know you're saved but you're struggling in this area of life, will you come? I'm going to say to you again, over here in front of the piano is a signal to me that I want to spend some time alone with God and I won't bother you. If you come over here, it's a signal to me you want me to pray with you. But I just ask you today to listen to the Spirit of God. Our Father in heaven, we can never thank you enough for your love. And oh, how you've proven it time and time and time again. And yet, there's people that will just not accept it. How sad that is. I pray, God, everyone in the room today will accept your love, whether it's they need to be saved, whether they're already saved and life is just coming at them with things they don't know about. I pray that in your wonderful power that you will communicate that love to their spirit. And I pray that we will go out of this place in a few moments knowing there is a God in heaven and He loves me and He will take care of me. And this is true Christmas love. In your name I pray. Amen.